Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
And welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you tonight on All Hallows Eve Eve. I don't know if that's a thing. Is it Maria Kina? Listen, you can trust Maria Kina. If she says that's a thing, it's a thing. So tonight, obviously not Halloween, but tomorrow is. So it's the eve before Halloween. And thanks for sticking around with us here tonight. I'll be with you until 10 o'clock talking about the news of the day. We've got some legal news. We've got some funny news. We're going to break down some of the pre-election litigation that's going on. And of course, as my wife always loves to say, when it comes to litigation, it's always good when the lawyers get paid. So that's my wife saying that, not me. Anyway, glad you are with us. And Kyle Sixta is flying the plane tonight. Kyle, good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you as always, Brad.
And today is National Candy Corn Day. And Kyle, do you like candy corn?
I love candy corn,
no,
Brad.
No, seriously?
I love it. Yeah, I do. It's so good.
You're not making that up, are you?
No,
saying that?
Seriously.
Okay, because before the show, I mentioned to Kyle, I said, you know, I don't really care for candy corn. In fact, I think it's vile. I think it's a substance spawned from Satan himself, and it should be banned under the Geneva Convention as cruel and unusual punishment. But besides that, you know, it's okay. What do you like about candy corn?
It's one of those candies where you eat it and then you just have to keep eating more. I don't know what it is. It's just addicting.
Crack.
You just keep eating them and keep eating them and you can't stop.
Okay.
I feel like you either love them or you hate them. I just love them.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you do. If I get any candy corn, it's coming your way, pal.
I appreciate it.
I don't care for it. But is candy corn your favorite Halloween candy, or do you like anything better than that?
Well, I'm only eating candy corn around Halloween. That's not something that I'm eating in April. You know,
that's true.
It's only a seasonal thing. But if we're talking just candy in general, lots of chocolate. That's my favorite. Kit Kat, Twix, that kind of stuff. Those are probably my top two.
Kit Kats are great.
Yeah, so good.
I had this debate when my kids were younger, and I would take them trick or treating. There was a guy on the very next street who gave out 50-cent pieces and in money.
Oh, wow.
50-cent pieces, you know, like double quarters.
Yeah.
50-cent pieces. He would give those things out. And my wife and I had a debate over why is this guy doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, he's got to be a dentist because he doesn't want to give out candy like candy corn because it might destroy your teeth. Right. I said, no, he's not a dentist. A dentist would want to give out sticky candy because it would increase his business, right? So it'd be good for business for a dentist to give out stuff that ruins your teeth because then you have to go to the dentist. I said, no, he's a banker. He's got to be a banker, and he's giving out money to teach kids the value of money. So after about 5 years of debating this, we went and asked him. I just came up to him one day during Halloween, and I said, look, you've been giving out these quarters and 50-cent pieces. My wife and I have had this debate. Are you a dentist or are you a banker? And he paused and he said, neither. I just give out the coins because when I buy candy, I end up eating half of it myself and I gained 20 pounds at Halloween. So he's neither a banker nor a dentist. But we concocted this whole story to try to explain why he was giving it. So when you were dressing up for Halloween, hopefully maybe not now unless adult beverages are involved, but what was your favorite character? What was your favorite like Halloween costume that you remember?
Ooh, that's good. I always used to dress up as Spider-Man as a kid. That was like my thing. Like I would dress up, you know, Spider-Man, then I'd be like Venom the next year. That was just, you know, my thing as a kid. I was absolutely fascinated with all the Spider-Man movies.
Oh, I know.
How about you? Do you have one you remember?
Well, I dressed up a lot, but when you mentioned Spider-Man, I went to SIU Carbondale.
Mm-hmm.
And Carbondale is legendary for the Halloween parties. So one year I'm there in Carbondale. This would have been circa 1986, probably. There's like a million people. Everybody's intoxicated. I think I was the only one that wasn't intoxicated on the street. And so this guy was dressed up like Spider-Man. And he got up, he climbed a telephone pole, and he's dangling from the telephone wires dressed as Spider-Man, right? And everybody started throwing, I'm not glorifying this, but they were throwing beer cans at him to try to knock him down. So they're throwing stuff. And obviously, Spider-Man was toast. I mean, he was just drunk. You could tell. And so he drops from this line, and he hits a panel van. Boom, it's the loudest thing. He falls to the ground. I thought he was dead. So I rushed over to help him, and he jumped up. He goes, oh, hey, Spider-Man, you can't kill Spider-Man. And he's dancing around. And I'm thinking, you know, the next day, I bet you that dude was hurting.
I'm sure he was.
Falling off a telephone pole and hitting a truck on the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was probably hurting. But yeah, I always dressed up as a kid, but when I think about it, I don't remember what I dressed up as. But the costumes now are so cool. I definitely would have done Spider-Man.
Yeah. A couple days ago, I went to a Halloween party. I went dressed as a 70s hippie.
Oh, you did?
So I had the afro, the mustache, I had the whole thing, the crazy shirt, you know.
Yeah.
So that was a good time. Spider-Man was more when I was a kid.
I got it. Well, hey, I want to open up the phone lines. And I always over-prepare on Wednesday nights. I've got tons of stuff to talk about, so don't worry about that. But, you know, the point of this show is to hear from you. That's, to me, what makes this fun, interesting, and exciting. Not me, but talking to you. So as we go through the news of the day, listen, I want to hear from you about favorite costumes. What costumes did you used to wear when you were a kid or maybe when you were intoxicated? What your favorite candy is, what your favorite Halloween experiences are. We want to hear from you. I had some interviews lined up, and I actually called them back and said, no, I'm going to leave the phone lines open because it's not only is it the day before Halloween, but this is the last Wednesday night before the election. So obviously the election is going to be a huge topic. I've got some election news, legal news to talk about. And I would like to hear from you as well on that. Your thoughts on the election. Guess who's going to win? I've got thoughts about that. And also how we are so equally divided in this country. To me, that is amazing. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but isn't it amazing that we're almost equally divided 50-50 on that issue? Phone lines are open for calls and texts, 314-436-7900 at your service. Brad Young in tonight until 10 p.m. Stick around. Welcome back to your voice for Halloween in St. Louis, KMOX. Thanks for joining us here this evening on At Your Service. Cheryl's been holding through the break, and I think Cheryl wants to talk about candy corn, that vile substance that should be banned by the Geneva Convention. Cheryl, welcome to KMOX.
Hello. I would have agreed with you about candy corn until just this year.
Really?
Where a friend introduced me to the proper way to eat candy corn. You mix it with peanuts, and it tastes just like a payday bar.
Really? I did not know that. I thought you were going to say you mix it with whiskey whenever you were starting to. And I'm like, maybe if you mix it with enough scotch or whiskey, I might choke it down. But peanuts, you're saying peanuts is the key to enjoying candy corn.
Yes, you mix half peanuts and half candy corn, and I didn't believe it at first, but it's true.
It's true, she says. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Cheryl. I'm going to give you this promise. I will try that tomorrow. If I get candy corn when the kids come by the house, I will try it with. I got a jar of peanuts in my kitchen. I will mix it. I will try it, and if it works, I will give you the praise. If it doesn't work, it just reaffirms my opinion that candy corn is literally spawned from Satan himself.
That sounds fair.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Okay. You have a good evening.
You too. This is going to sound kind of odd, but I actually did some legal research today. And here's the reason why I did this. I was thinking, what kind of Halloween lawsuits are filed? Because you know there has to be crazy Halloween lawsuits, right? So I went searched through. That's why I've got this Westlaw. My law firm pays a whole lot of money to get access to Westlaw. But usually I'm using it, you know, for legitimate reasons like helping clients. But no. I was doing this to help you, the KMOX audience. So I was looking through some Halloween litigation, right? I thought this is going to be an opportunity to have a laugh. So I did find several different lawsuits. One in Queens, this just from this year. In Queens, that's in New York, there was a haunted house. And you've seen those haunted houses where you pay money and you go through them. And you know in advance, somebody's going to be jumping out at you, right? You just know that. That's why you go. So I in this one particular haunted house in Queens, it was called The Haunting in Hollis. And there was something called a death trap. And it was basically... people were walking in, and everyone was getting injured. And where the ambulance had to come. And this wasn't fake. It wasn't like a setup. People were getting hurt. And of course, the place was called the Death Trap. So the fire department literally had to come and shut it down because of the injuries that were occurring. And now there's rumored to be litigation. Now, the other one, though, there's a couple of these haunted houses stories. This one, I think, is my favorite. So, again, what do you think of at a haunted house? People jump out, people covered with blood, people looking like zombies, werewolves, Frankensteins, etc. So they go into this haunted house again in New York. I'm not sure what's up with New York. It was called the House of Screams. Somebody goes in. The guy who went in was an off-duty police officer wanting to have a good time. Well, who jumped out at this off-duty police officer but Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? If you've never seen that movie, don't. I mean, if you're familiar with it, watch it. If you're not familiar with it, you don't want to watch it. It's lots of blood, lots of gore, and it's a guy it's not imaginative. The main villain's called Leatherface, so you can figure out what he had on his face. So at this haunted house, a guy dressed as Leatherface jumps out of this off-duty police officer. He's got a chainsaw, right? Because that's what the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy carries. The off-duty police officer pulls out his service revolver, points it at Leatherface's face, and says, "Drop the chainsaw." The guy drops the chainsaw and runs. And so there's a possibility of litigation there as well. There's also a bunch of things where people were knocked out of windows already this year. It's crazy because they get scared. These houses, they leap out at you, and somebody fell out of a two-story window. Lawsuit's already been filed. But what I think is the most interesting, though, is this. Do you have anybody in your neighborhood? I don't, but I've seen it. But do you have anyone in your neighborhood who takes Halloween just a little too seriously? I mean, they've got all thousands of dollars worth of lights, things in their yard, decorations in their yard. They just go too far. And I'm sure you probably have a neighbor that does this, right? So in Ohio, in about a week and a half ago, in Ohio, for some reason, we don't know why, a lady went on a rampage. She went to the front yard of this family that did over-the-top Halloween decorations and just started destroying everything. She was running through the front yard, tearing things down, ripping things out. Basically, mayhem abandonment there. She was just going crazy in this person's yard. Tore up everything, and within a half an hour, she caused roughly $5,000 in damages, destroying all kinds of property. So here's some free legal advice. If you've got that neighbor who just goes too far, don't just go and destroy all of their stuff, because number one, you're probably going to get sued. And if you don't get sued, you're probably going to get arrested. But it reminds me, though, when my nephew is getting close to 30. When he was a kid, he went trick or treating and he wanted to go as Batman. It was his favorite costume. He loved Batman, favorite cartoon character. So he dresses up like Batman, and as he's getting ready to go out, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the box that had the costume in it, and I'm reading the box, and on the box, it said, "Warning, cape does not enable user to fly." Now, I instantly thought of two things when I saw this. First of all, why is that disclaimer there? Well, you know as well as I do that some kid put on a Batman costume, went on top of the garage and took a leap, broke his arm, and his parents sued the manufacturer of the Halloween costume saying, you encouraged my son to jump off the garage thinking he could fly. So the legal department obviously put that on there because somebody had done it. But the next thought, though, occurred to me was this. The legal department at Hasbro or wherever this costume came from, the legal department must not have really been into comic books because Batman doesn't even fly, okay? So if I would have been representing the company, I would have said, how can you allege that putting on this costume enticed you to jump off the garage when Batman himself doesn't fly? That's Superman. That's the guy in the red costume with the huge chest, and he's got the blue hair. This is Batman. This is the guy that puts a cowl over his face. He doesn't fly. I mean, he falls with style. Okay, I'll give him that. But he doesn't fly. But apparently the legal department did not think about that. Hey, when we come back, I want to and I'll come back to some of the Halloween stories as the evening unfolds, but there's a couple of legal issues that are going to be going to the Supreme Court about this idea of counting ballots. But as we talk about politics this evening, if you're any listener or regular listener to this show, you know, I don't talk about personalities. I talk about ideas, and ideas might represent one party more than the other, but I'm not into, I'm for Trump, I'm for Kamala, I'm for Biden, I'm for Vivek Ramaswamy. I just like to say his name, but I'm not into that, but I'm into ideas, right? But if you've got some thoughts and ideas about the election, I would like to hear it. 314-436-7900 on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in this evening, and you may have heard the Supreme Court issued an order today, and let me tell you a little bit about what they did and the background of what they did. But then I would really love to hear someone's views that are opposite of mine to help me understand some of the rationale here. So here's what the Supreme Court did. Let's set the table. In Virginia, they started a process in August to clear out their voter rolls, to clear out the voter rolls of people who are non-citizens, who are not only are they not registered to vote kind of people, because they are registered, they're on the voting rolls, but it's not as if they're ineligible to vote because they're from Pennsylvania or Idaho, but these are people who are not even citizens of the United States that are on the rolls. So the first question is, why are we even allowing non-citizens to be on voting rolls? I don't understand that. I don't understand why any state would allow it. I don't understand why any state would want to have it. We don't want people from Indonesia voting in our election. We don't want people from Bangladesh voting in our elections. This is a U.S. election. I don't care where you're from, as long as you're a citizen, right? But the state of Virginia just started this process in August. And what happened? The federal government filed a lawsuit against the state of Virginia, saying that they shouldn't be doing it because it's within a 90-day period where this kind of activity is not supposed to happen. Of course, the state of Virginia started it before the 90-day period, so that would seem to not apply to this particular situation. So I'm not really sure, again, why the federal government would say to the state of Virginia, we don't want you to clear out the non-citizens from your voting rolls. We don't want you to do that, said the Biden administration. And to me, that's puzzling. In other words, why would, and I'm not trying to cast dispersions on the right or the left, but why would anyone, regardless of their political persuasion, want illegal citizens who are not eligible to vote, why would they even want them to be able to vote? Steve is holding. Hey, Steve, welcome to KMOX.
Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing great, sir. How about you?
I am doing great as well. Thank you. I was just calling about Amendment 3.
Yes.
I know that you've been talking about it, and it is so deceptively written that it it really kind of pulls people in when they walk in that voting booth, and they're going to see things that are just simply not true.
Such as
such as the fact that this says that this talks about reproductive health care. It doesn't describe what reproductive health care is.
That's right.
Reproductive health care can certainly be abortion, and interestingly, in the summary, it does not ever mention the word child or baby, which is what abortion is.
Exactly. Well, and you know that's by design, obviously, Steve, because the people who are pushing this amendment want you to see a child in the womb as nothing more than a mole that needs to be removed. So, of course, yes, they're not going to call it a child, a baby, a human, even though that child has its own separate and distinct DNA. That child has a heartbeat, has a brain, has cognitive function, can move, can think, breathe. I mean, they're not breathing oxygen, obviously. They're breathing embryonic fluid. But nevertheless, that in every scientific measure, a baby is a living, independent organism, and yet the left and the proponents of Amendment 3, Constitutional Amendment 3, want you to think of it as a mole or a tumor.
Yes, exactly. And then they also say in here that it will allow abortion to be restricted or banned after fetal viability. Well, when people read that, they think, "Well, that's good. That's good. That's good." And so they're going to restrict abortion at some point and after viability. But then they go right on to say the very next part of that sentence says, "Except to protect the life or health of the woman." They don't describe what that means.
No.
What the health of the woman means is that abortion will be allowed literally up to the very moment of birth at 9 months.
That's right. I mean, essentially, if Amendment 3 passes, and unfortunately, unless more people get out and vote against Amendment 3, it's probably going to pass. At least the polling data that I've seen is probably going to pass unless people who are concerned about this get off their couches and go and vote against Amendment 3. But yeah, the life and health of the mother could be the mother's emotional health. It
yes.
could be the mother's financial health. It
yes.
could be the mother's relational health. It could
yes.
be any of those things, which, of course, is squishier than Jell-O on a wall. And basically, you're saying for any reason that impacts the woman in any way, who, of course, she's going to be emotional. She's giving birth to a human being. Of course, she's
sure.
going to be emotional. But if all of a sudden that mother, as she's in the delivery room, says, you know, I don't think I can handle this baby. I think I just want you to abort it. That would be legal under Amendment 3.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And plus, it'll set up funding for our tax dollars to fund abortions and to fund the mutilation of minors through sex change operations and drugs. Funding, because it says in here that the funding that the government cannot discriminate in government programs, funding, and other activities. So when they're saying funding, that's our funding means us. That's our tax
yes.
dollars. That's our money.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Steve, I appreciate you calling in this evening. Thanks for listening to Camel X.
Okay. Thank you for what you're doing. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Diane's been holding. Hey, Diane, welcome to Camel X.
Hey, Brad. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Hey, listen, I wanted to talk about Amendment 3 also. What
yep.
my concern is there's so many deceptive ads on TV acting like a person can't get a miscarriage care or they couldn't get care for an ectopic pregnancy.
Yep.
Certainly that is allowed even now for this to save the life of the mother. And
of course.
And I want to just read the definition of abortion in our state statute and the public health and welfare under Chapter 188. It says abortion is the act of using or prescribing any instrument, device, medicine, drug, or any means or other substance with the intent to destroy the life of an embryo or the fetus in his or her mother's womb, or the intentional termination of the pregnancy of a mother, or using or prescribing any instrument, device, medicine, drug, or other means or substance with the intention other than to increase the probability of a live birth or to remove a dead unborn baby. And so they're basically saying it's the intentional way to destroy the life mm-hmm. of a child, not these other things that we're talking about, where the mother, you know, you obviously can't have a child that's outside of the uterus live. And
no, not at all.
You know, and that's
not at
just
all.
That's basic health care for the life
science.
Of the mother, and also the child is not going to make it. So there's a big difference, and these ads are really aggravating me because they're very deceptive.
They are.
And a lot of people are saying, well, I'm voting for Amendment 3 because, you know, this is not going to help the mother if these kind of conditions come up. So,
well, Diane, you know, one of the things that I tell people a lot is I don't think anyone should be making any voting decisions based upon advertising. I mean, if the advertising piques someone's interest, then go and research it. Go and look into it. Go make an independent decision. But listen, voting based upon what you hear solely in an ad is like buying siding from a guy that comes to your house and says his is the best siding ever made. Of course he's going to say that. He's a salesman, right? So when people hear the ads, they need to go and investigate and learn and become educated, not just listen to the propaganda that's being spewed to get you to vote in favor of Amendment 3.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you, Brad.
Great.
Thanks for all you do.
Diane, it's great to talk to you.
All right. You take care now.
You too.
God bless. Bye.
I think we got time to squeeze in one more caller. Hey, Jeff, welcome to Camo X.
Yeah. Hi, Brad. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just building on the point you were making in the previous callers as well with that Amendment 3, I agree totally the deceptive language. I mean, it's rife with it. They spent $31 million. The group supporting that amendment spent that much. You know, they raise that much money as opposed to like $1 million for the other side. But supporting your point on the, you know, it's a separate human, you know, with its separate DNA and heartbeat and all those things. I mean, that's why there's two murder charges whenever a boyfriend murders his pregnant girlfriend. You know, next
You're
time
exactly
that happens
right.
in St. Louis. Yeah, next time that happens in the city, check to see if there's two murder charges or if there's just one. You know.
Right. And actually, Jeff, it makes it up for an interesting quandary. OK, let's do this thought experiment just for a moment. So let's say, for example, Amendment 3 passes. I hope it doesn't. I plead that it doesn't. But let's assume for discussion that it does. And now abortion is legal in the state of Missouri. Here's the way that this will be a contradictory laws on the books. It'll go like this. If a fetus in the womb is killed in a car accident, then the defendant can be charged with murdering the fetus. But if the defendant happens to be wearing a lab coat and kills that fetus with forceps, then it's going to be enshrined and protected under the state constitution. Doesn't that seem so contradictory to be as beyond belief?
Yeah, totally. It contradicts math. It's,
right. But if you kill that fetus with a car, it's illegal. If you kill the fetus with forceps, it's legal. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. Well, I hope you'll be getting out.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, it seems like I haven't got an answer on that one yet. I asked Ranji, too. I couldn't quite make out what he was coming up with. on that point. But yeah, I mean, in the next time the newsroom, whenever it happens that a pregnant girl gets murdered by a boyfriend, I mean, see if they report it as the woman being murdered and her unborn baby.
Right.
You know,
because that's
but,
the way it will be. It will be reported.
Right. And, why are you calling it that if it's just a, you know, just if it's just a woman and her body, you know?
Right. And I guess, you know what, I if some slick a criminal defense attorney is defending the defendant who kills a mother and the child, maybe he could just argue that he was committing an abortion and it should be legal under the statute. I mean, to some extent, obviously I'm being facetious, but I'm being facetious to make the point. Ridiculousness makes points, and that's how ridiculous Amendment 3 will be if it passes. Jeff, we got to take a break here, my friend, but thanks for calling in this evening.
Great show. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, we're going to take a break. More calls from you. 314-436-7900. Talk about Amendment 3. Talk about the election. What do you like? What do you don't like? Any of those things. We've got open phone lines this evening to hear from you. Brad Young, at your service. Don't go away. Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening. And before we got a bunch of calls, and I always love calls, before the calls came in regarding Amendment 3, I was talking about this situation in Virginia where they're trying to remove literally non-citizens from the voting rolls, and the federal government is objecting to that. And I still struggle to figure out who could be against it. Why would anyone, for a rational decision, say, you know, we want illegal citizens to vote? And as I say that, I think about right now in New York City, which has allowed strictly for local elections, non-citizens can vote. And now they can't vote in federal elections, but under New York law, and certainly under the city of New York by a statute, they're allowing non-citizens to vote. And to me, that's baffling that a non-citizen, a person who's not even a citizen of this particular country, could be allowed to vote. I mean, that's almost like saying this. You know, there's a reason why we don't want cat-hoarding women in muumuus who have 72 cats to be the person in charge of saying how many cats should be able to live legally in one single house. Why? Because they're already breaking the law, right? If you've got 72 cats living in your two-bedroom apartment, I don't want you to be the person that determines the lawful number of cats that are allowed to be in a house, because then my next-door neighbor is going to have 72 cats in his house, and then I've got to put up with it. We don't want that. So if you're already breaking the law, you shouldn't be in charge of determining what that law is. And that's the way that I see, and it's not racist. It's not irrational. It's very rational to say, if you're a non-citizen, go through the citizenship process. I implore you to do that. And then when you do, I'll be the first one to walk you to the voting booth to vote. And I will cheer you and I will applaud you. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what color you are. But if you become a citizen of the United States, then you are my fellow citizen and I welcome you into the polling booth. But if you're not, if you're already breaking the most fundamental law of our country, which is being a citizen and trying to vote, then you should not be allowed to do that. And I just defy anyone to contradict that train of logic. And yet, it's not just happening in New York. In fact, just this week, the group called Judicial Watch had to file a lawsuit against the state of Oregon because the state of Oregon has basically said, we're not going to police our polls or in any way. We're not going to look to see if there's non-citizens. We're not going to look to see if there's dead people on the rolls. We're not going to do any of that. We're just going to let all of those people be on the rolls. And if they vote, then God bless them. That's the position of the state of Oregon. Now, I grew up in Southern Illinois. In the county where I grew up in the 1970s, it was literally 95% Democrat voting. And I don't think my dad wasn't in that group. But I say that for this reason. In Illinois, you know, my dad passed away in 2007. And to this day, I think he's probably been voting Democrat ever since. And you can make that joke, right? Because Illinois is notorious for voting fraud. Notorious. I mean, just ask anyone who's related or whoever voted for President John F. Kennedy back in the day. That was way before I was born. But it was notorious that Chicago elected John F. Kennedy. And so it elected John F. Kennedy due to voter fraud. And when I was studying political science in college, it was just a well-known fact. It's not even a dispute. But why is it that in the state of Oregon, lawsuits have to be filed in order to force the state to do what it should do, which is to make sure that, listen, if you're coming in to vote, number one, you're a citizen. Number two, you're alive. And number three, you're eligible to vote. How difficult is that? How hard is it to do that? And yet Oregon doesn't want to do it. What I found interesting is that in Oregon, in many counties in Oregon, get this, the voting rolls exceed 100% of the population. Now, what does that mean? That means if a county has 100,000 people in it, then there might be 150,000 people registered to vote in a county where only 100,000 people actually live. I think it's Jim that's holding. Hey, Jim, welcome to Camo X.
Hey, I just want to quote this. I'm I'm not totally against abortion, even though I'm Catholic. I understand it in the mother's health, stuff like that,
sure.
Rape, incest. I have an issue with a lot of these. I don't think Missouri's in this situation where you can abort a child into the third trimester.
Well,
that's where it's a slippery slope, and that's where I have issues with it.
Yeah, but under Amendment 3, Jim, under Amendment 3, a woman could abort the child 5 minutes before it's born.
Exactly, and that's where I have the problem with it. You know, and so many of these states, these liberal states, like Illinois is an example, you know, they'll abort a child, an unborn child, in the third trimester, yet someone who goes out and commits a crime is convicted of it. They don't want to execute them in like the 750th trimester,
right?
Because it's cruel and unusual. It makes they just don't make any sense in their arguments. Plus, in this bill too, doesn't it? I mean, the kid doesn't have to ask permission,
right,
from his parents. You know, you can't even get a tattoo until you're 18.
I know, but under this bill, if someone's 14 and pregnant, they could get an abortion, and their parents would never know.
Yeah, and it makes no sense. I just don't understand the reasoning. And, like, the point you were talking about, you know, the point that everyone brings up, oh, you shouldn't have to have an ID to vote. But the only reason you shouldn't have to have an ID to vote is to cheat. I mean, that's basically it.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Jim. Hey, make it quick. We're coming up on a hard break.
Vote early and vote often. That's a Democrat way.
It is in Chicago, that's for sure. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling in this evening. I appreciate it.
Hey, have a good evening.
You too, my friend. Hey, we're going to take a break here coming up in just a few seconds. And next hour, again, I've eliminated interviews because I want to hear from you. That's what makes radio uniquely different. You get to participate in the show. You get to determine what we talk about, how long we talk about it, and in the depth of our discussion. And that's why I'm here. I don't have to be here. This is not my job. I've got a very good day job with my law firm. But I'm here to hear from you. 436-7900, and that's area code 314. Call or text. We'll be right back.